Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's a culture war, the religious right has started it. The religious right has this book that they're trying to make the world follow.
Shutting down government is unbiblical. Because government has a biblical responsibility to care for the poor, they're against poor people.
God told me that we are our brother's keeper. The labor movement is our brother's keeper. So help me God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It was the great theologian, the Wicked Witch of the West, who once said,
"Oh, my world, my world."
Indeed, this is Wretched Radio, without banging a fist on the desk. Not that we're opposed to that. Nevertheless, I can't help but wonder if it isn't time for the Christian to flip the switch. Is it possible that it is time for us to adjust to the point of accepting we're not living in the same country we once lived in? What are the implications of that? Is it possible that rather than longing for the good old days, we start to recognize that we are living in a time when God, Christianity, the church are on the outs, and postmodern atheism, secular humanism, is the tidal wave? And unless God brings about a great revival, and that is the only thing that will change a culture, then you and I need to do some adjusting in our expectations, our hopes, how we respond to people, how we engage, what our agenda is. I understand. If you've been following the evangelical world for any amount of time, I've been tracking it, give or take, pushing 20 years. And we have, myself included, we've all seen the chipping away, the whittling away of things that historically have been very nice and enjoyable, thank you. And we've responded in various and sundry ways, whether it was with a complaint, a lament, petitioning legislation, getting involved politically, boycotting, in an effort to try to stave those things off. Don't hear me wrong, I'm not suggesting that those efforts, this isn't a blanket endorsement, but I'm not saying that those efforts were fruitless, nor were they ungodly necessarily. But I wonder if now it's time for us to reconsider what we're doing. Patrick Buchanan, last time I checked, he's a Roman Catholic, writing for WND, which used to be WorldNet Daily, the dead soul of Stephen Paddock, offering what I think is some very good insight into what we experienced in Las Vegas, why, and what it means. And I think what it means is we're just living in a different culture. And I think it requires adjustment. If you were going to become a missionary to a foreign land, it is certain if you were with any sort of organization, with any sort of wisdom and experience, they would undoubtedly put you through some training. This is the culture you're entering into. This is the way people act. This is the attitude and the trajectory, the face of the government. You would be wise to watch out for. This is how they respond to this, whether it is clothing, customs, food, speech, education. Be mindful of these things. Because it's not where you live now, and you should be aware of these things. And I think that while our country certainly has been bending to the left for decades, we just hit the J-curve. You know how the J-curve works. A movement starts, and then not very much traction. It barely gets off the grid. It just kind of, and then it starts to slightly gain a point here and a point there, and all of a sudden, it seems that it's picking up a little speed, and all of a sudden, they're gaining some sort of a following, and then, whoop, straight up it goes. It's the J-curve, and that happens a lot with issues. And I think that's happened with our country. We've gone whoop. We've J-curved. We have just moved radically from where we once were, and the reason that I think we Christians should pivot and rethink what we're doing here and be mindful, we are strangers living in a strange land. If we were comfortable with America, I wonder if it isn't time for us to start feeling uncomfortable. I'm not saying get used to it. You can deal with this in any way that you choose. But I wonder if our mindset shouldn't be different so that our response is biblical. This from Patrick J. Buchanan. Whatever happened to him anyway? I used to kind of enjoy some of his commentary, not all of it. That's not an endorsement of everything that he's ever said, but I just loved his clear candor. He wrote this, while there can be no justification for mass murder, there is an explanation, and like Edgar Allan Poe's purloined letter, it is right there in front of us in plain sight. Not many people are talking about it. What is the issue? In the Brothers Karamazov, novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky has his character Ivan say, if God is dead, all things are permissible. Now, thankfully, that quote was not put to music, because if God is dead, all things are permissible. Living on the inside. If God is dead, all things are permissible. There's no standard. There's no nothing. Everything is opinion. Everything is perhaps preference. Murder, it's not my preference. Rape, nah, I don't think that's so good. But that's just me. And that's all you can have when God is gone. Even atheist Friedrich Nietzsche recognized that. What do we do without God? How do we have any sort of basis for anything? Even he got that, which is why some argue Nietzsche is actually a friend of the Christian. He warred against God, but some of his insights, which I think contributed to him going mad, were actually quite helpful to the Christian argument. This from Patrick J. Buchanan. What Ivan meant is that if God does not exist, the idea of God's law, of heaven or hell as reward or punishment, now, that's some of Patrick Buchanan's Roman Catholicism coming in there, but you get his point. The threatenings of hell, the idea that, wow, I could go to heaven because of Jesus, he would say that, Patrick J. Buchanan would say, you've earned that. Nevertheless, I think that we should still listen to this. When there's no threatenings of hell, no promise of heaven, whatever your theology is, it has an effect on the culture. It changes people. And he makes the case that if people don't have some sort of an internal mechanism, there is no government that can ultimately control all people and all of their decisions, and we are going to continue to see more and more wicked acts en masse. And that led me to start thinking about the evangelical church. When was the last time you heard a sermon that really opened up hell and had some threatenings of the wrath of God to scare people? Now, we know that that's not the end of the Christian message. But remember, it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. It's the fear of the Lord that has many benefits. For instance, Paul was motivated to evangelize because he feared the Lord. It curbs sin. We don't want the displeasure of God. And we certainly don't want to be found on Judgment Day being told, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. The evangelical church, as a rule, now, not everybody, there are very fine preachers. And I think the number is growing, and I think that's positive, and we should be encouraged by that. But the majority of churches talk about hell, the wrath of God. I think I mentioned the other night we rented a Christian movie, and we did a critique on that, so let's not retell that ground. But all of the previews, it's like, God's just waiting for you. God's just, he loves you, and he's just going to run to you just as soon as you just when you want to talk to him, just let him know. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, some truth in that, obviously. You need to repent today. The sins of God will not tarry with you forever. Don't delay. Even now, people are forcing themselves into the kingdom. Escape from the wrath that is to come. Don't dilly-dally. That's a Greek word. You can look that up in your concordance somewhere. When do we hear talk like that? Not only does it have an effect on Christians, but it has an effect on the culture. We become the religion of, the namby-pamby God. And we don't want to whiplash into the other ditch. That is not my point. But we're not doing culture, nor the church, nor eternity any favors by not preaching about hell. Back to Patrick Buchanan. Consider Nevada. has a death penalty for the mass murder Paddock was preparing to commit. But, as he had already decided to end his life after shooting scores of innocent people, no death penalty or any threatened state punishment could deter him. In other words, external laws can't get the job done. They're helpful, but they can't get the job done. Why not carry out his atrocity and end his life knowing that within days all of America would know who this fellow is? In Shakespeare, Hamlet declares, "Conscience doth make cowards of us all." Fearing damnation, what did he do? He didn't want to end his life. Or exact revenge on the king, he believed seduced his mother. He feared a judgment. Stephen Paddock, conscience dead. A moral nihilist, a post-Christian man in a post-Christian age, a monster. And we're going to see more such men, for we no longer have a convincing answer to the oldest of questions, why not? Culture doesn't, but Christians do. Not only would we be wise to consider the balance of our preaching, but we should let our Bible inform us. The Bible talks about the threatenings of God for a reason, and we would do well to stop glancing over those verses to our own detriment and to the detriment of our hearers. This is Wretched Radio.
Thank you for being here. We do always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. Have you visited the new website, wretched.org, wretched.org? Best place to go. It's all free. Anyone and everyone, please check it out. You can listen to the radio show there. You can check out the TV show there. All the archives are available to you. And the Wretched Store is there, too. For those of you who are podcasters, you will head to iTunes and search for Wretched Radio, and you'll find us. Wretched.org is also the place you can go to find out how you can help keep Wretched on the radio and the interweb and on the TV. Wretched.org, just click on the Donate button. And for the month of October, if you would like to donate over the phone, we can handle that at Beep Talk. 1-877-282-BEEP, 1-877-282-2337. Thank you for your generosity. You are what keeps Wretched on the radio. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Why should you consider sponsoring your own Tomorrow Club? Because of stories like this.
Western Ukraine is heavily populated by Roma people, where the families are involved in witchcraft, fortune-telling, drug smuggling, stealing, looting, and when you walk in those villages, first thing that strikes you right away is the level of poverty. And it's not just the physical poverty, there's the spiritual poverty, which results in a physical poverty. And going to visit Tomorrow Club, I saw the change. Not only that just because they were singing and reciting Bible verses, but the atmosphere of love and acceptance that is not really a common thing to see in that environment. Kids now have something where they can learn about God, learn about what it means to follow Christ, how to become Christ-like. Tomorrow Club bring the light of the gospel to those forsaken places.
Would you please help us write more stories? Sponsor a Tomorrow Club, please. Visit tomorrowclubs.org.
Did you know that Wretched has biblical, practical, and engaging Sunday school curriculum? Stressed out. Gospel clarity, politics, persecution, sanctification, evangelism curriculum, Furman Who, Life is Best, and the brand new Jesus Unmasked study guide that reveals Jesus in the Old Testament. Are you ready for Sunday school? Sunday school curriculum at wretchedradio.com.
If you are involved in Sunday school, or you have homeschoolers, or you're just a Christian, would you please think about getting Life is Best, our brand new, thanks to you, 13-episode pro-life TV show to teach the saints how to defend life. It is gospel-saturated and profoundly helpful in a culture of death. Please consider getting a copy of Life is Best at wretchedradio.com.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word, despotes,
which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Living on the inside. Hello, this is Wretched Radio. This is not the first generation of jellyfish preachers. This has been going on for a long time in our culture, and we are seeing the fruit of it. These types of cultural shifts do not happen overnight. They are a process. Seeds are sown. I always think back to right after the election of President Barack Obama, still pains me to say that, nevertheless, going out to the Georgia Tech. It was right by the stairs. I remember it. Those kiosks that they put up, those round obelisk things where you can post apartment for rent. We're putting on a show. Here's a concert at the venue. And there were announcements about the communist meeting. And I went, wow, that didn't take long. I had it backwards. Barack Obama did not start training people to be more socialistic in their thinking. Barack Obama was elected to office because that type of thinking has been alive and fomenting for decades in our country. And that's true with all of these issues of morality. I mean, a lot of people, they'll say, well, this just seemed to happen overnight. And I get that because it's the J curve. Boom! It just all of a sudden, well, everything is different these days. But if you remember the J curve, there's things that precede it. There's that gradual increase of changing in thinking, sharing of ideas, disseminating books, music, art, popularizing big ideas, bringing it down to the level of the hoi polloi. And then all of a sudden it goes boom and everybody says, what happened? Well, it's because you probably just weren't aware of so many of these things happening, mostly on university campuses, in academia, but certainly in Hollywood. And so all of a sudden this explosive change, but it didn't come overnight. And the same thing is true with an anti-Christian attitude. This is nothing new. Now, why? J.C. Ryle, I believe he died in 1900, if I'm not mistaken, which happens to be the year, I believe, that he wrote The Importance of Dogma. That J.C. Ryle was identifying in his era. Now, remember, this is England. This is after Charles Spurgeon, the Prince of Preach. You think, oh, Charles Spurgeon. Well, England must have been conservative. No. There was the downgrade controversy in Spurgeon's time. And then there was J.C. Ryle lamenting, we've got ourselves a bunch of jellyfish theologians. And this is from Grace Gems. You can get a free Grace Gem at gracegems.org. They'll deliver these to you every single day. They're just, I haven't read a stinker, frankly. And he was lamenting jellyfish Christianity because it was going on in his day. Now, that ultimately, I believe, was going on the same way in America. Liberalism, just think about what was going on in our country. We have a tendency to think, oh, the good old days. Have you forgotten about Charleston Flappers and Razzmatazz, the Roaring Twenties? That was I think most people would say, well, that was a debaucherous time. Why was that going on? The culture reflects the predominant cult, not meaning like Jim Jones' cult, but the predominant religious influence. It's a reflection of that. What has been the predominant influence religiously in America? The Protestant church. Protestantism, not Catholicism, Protestantism. And so as we see decades ago slipping into a lack of morality, sinful behavior, violent behavior, you got to point a finger back at the church. By the way, I try to make that case in my second book, Judge Not, available at wretched.org. And like 20 chapters. We've just slipped on this one. We've become a jellyfish on that one. And now we are seeing, in my estimation, the J curve. And we Christians need to start going, now what do we do with this? How do I start thinking? And maybe it's less about making America great again, and more about realizing people are really, they're really lost. All we're seeing is what a Christian culture and the gracious hand of God has suppressed, not in totality, because we've always had evil in this country, we've always had assassinations, we've had other mass shootings, but there has been more of a suppression of that because of the influence of the church, mostly coming out of the Puritan movement. But as that got watered down, we see less and less Christian influence. We see less of a curb on culture, and we see increasing immorality. Let's remember, Roe v. Wade was 1973. It wasn't yesterday. Our culture of death has been going on for decades in this country. And now, it seems that we've pretty much turned the corner, and we should be asking ourselves the question, how now shall we live? And I think the answer is, we better start preaching the way the Bible presents God. And stop with this jellyfish Christianity. This from J.C. Ryle. We have hundreds of jellyfish clergymen who have not a single bone in their body of divinity. That's pretty funny, actually. Well, you know, for a Brit, Anglican. They have no definite opinions. They belong to no school or party. They are so afraid of extreme views that they have no views at all. 1900. This does not go without effect. This has an influence. I think overall, America, the attitude toward evangelical Christianity, we're the skinny-jeaned, silly, we don't even take ourselves seriously, watered-down deity of meh. That's what we become, and I think that's how we've been seen. And this is the culmination of decades of slippage. Now, should we just whiplash and go, start preaching hellfire and brimstone? No, I think we should be preaching the Bible the way the Bible presents itself. How do you find perfect balance when it comes to preaching or Bible study or training your kids in righteousness? The mistake would be, let's go find all of those severe Puritan quotes. Let's go grab all of those and let's just give them some zing, bang, boom, hellfire preaching. And we forget about the goodness of God. That is an error. So how do we keep our balance? Read the Puritans in totality. Just don't pick up the good stuff furthermore. Don't just read the lovey-dovey verses in the Bible, and don't just read the wrath verses. If your Bible study with your children has never left Revelation 19 and 20, you're probably out of balance. We want to be balanced, and the best way for us to find that equilibrium is by simply working our way through the Bible, and it will balance us. I just think there's been too much ignoring of these severe passages in the Bible in this effort to kind of woo people into the kingdom. Hey, struggling, don't you kind of wonder what the purpose of life is? And I get that. I think that can be an entree into the conversation. Would it be entry or an entree is something that you eat, the main course? At any rate, it can get you into the discussion about the things of God. But that seems to be the beginning and the end for most evangelicals. Hey, just check it out. No biggie. God just, he's waiting on you. Just come on in. Just hang out with us for a little bit, and maybe you'll just find this kind of an interesting place. Maybe you'll get some sort of comfort. Maybe you'll dig the music, and you'll hang around for a while. And I think, I fear that that's the majority of evangelical Christianity, and I think statistics will bear that out. Hold on 1 second, J.C. Ryle, he ain't done. We have thousands of jellyfish sermons preached every year. Sermons without an edge or a point. Lots of life lessons. They're as smooth as billiard balls. Awakening no sinner and edifying no saint. There's a double whammy. People don't get saved in the saints. We got a lot of very, very skinny sheep in evangelical Christianity. Hold on. He ain't done yet. We have myriads of jellyfish worshipers. Respectable, church-going people who have no distinct and definite views about any point in theology. They cannot discern things that differ any more than colorblind people can distinguish colors. They think, now listen, this is 1900. Postmodernism, it's all, you're seeing seeds of it right here. This is 1900. They think everybody is right, nobody is wrong. That's got to be 2000, not 1900. No. It's J.C. Ryle. Everything is true, nothing is false. All sermons are good, none are bad. Every minister is sound, and none are unsound. They are tossed to and fro like children by every wind of doctrine, carried away by any new excitement, any sensational movement. It's like he is on the internet. They are ever ready for new things because they have no firm grasp of the old scripture truths. It was going on in the 1900s. It has continued for over a century. And now we're seeing the fruit of it. This is a reaping and sowing. There are some people who warned about this, and it's happened. And I don't think that there is anybody that is more culpable for the societal decline than the evangelical church, which has led the way in jellyfishnesses. Now, again, let me just make sure so that you don't think this is just nothing but a critique of everything evangelical. Certainly not. As I mentioned, I think that there's a growing number of evangelicals who are starting to see the beauty of sharp-cut doctrinal distinctives. Not because it divides and we're better than you in our theology, but because it's good and it's rich and it's helpful and it's comforting and it grows and it sanctifies and it saves. So this isn't an exclusive, oh, woe is us. But I think that it is the majority. And I think because of that, we are living in a culture. Just pick up your headlines. The signs are everywhere that we are living in a post-Christian era. How now shall we live? Let's get back to preaching the Bible the way that it was intended to be preached, not importing, not bringing about the wrong balance, but the way it presents itself. Let God do the work. And we are not responsible for the results, but we're responsible for faithfulness. This is Wretched Radio.
Parents have no greater joy than to see their children walking in the truth. Unfortunately, the odds are not in your favor. 60 to 80% of evangelical kids notoriously backslide. Your child does not need to be a statistic. Get Todd Friel's latest book, Reset for Parents. This book will truly change your home. To get your copy of Todd's latest book, Reset for Parents, go to WretchedRadio.com. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Pornography. The numbers are staggering, sad, scary. According to a Pure Life Ministries poll, 68% of evangelical men view pornography. And the same poll showed 50% of evangelical pastors admit to viewing porn. That's why Todd wrote Slaying the Lust Dragon. Get your copy today and learn how to put the pornography dragon to death once and for all. Slaying the Lust Dragon. Available at WretchedRadio.com.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Advocate. When we as God's redeemed people sin, Jesus is our advocate before the Father. It is on the basis of Christ's righteousness that we are saved, not our own works.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is not every day you get a false Christ to join you in the studio. This is Wretched Radio. No, it's true. We went to a lot of effort, pulled a lot of strings. Maybe you saw the story. Probably not. But we did at the Daily Mail. A traffic cop from Siberia. No, this is not Babylon Bee. A traffic cop from Siberia quits his job to become Jesus Christ. And once again, I have to confess, I remember reading the words of Jesus warning his disciples that false Christ would arise. And I thought, it just seemed odd to me. Clearly, he was correct. Because he knew that people would come and say, I am Jesus Christ. And we have seen this throughout even our lifetimes. Perhaps you remember this guy.
How you doing? Thank you.
That would be Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. Well, now we've
hard
had
to
him
forget
on
that
here.
Guy.
Yeah, he's joined us before in studio. Well, now this fellow, who is a traffic cop from Siberia, quits his job to become Jesus Christ. Not kidding. He has 5,000 followers, and he's joining us now in the studio. Sir, thank you for flying all the way in from Russia.
It's totally my pleasure to be here.
Sergey, how do you pronounce Tarop, T-O-R-O-P? How do you pronounce your name, sir?
Hrubatax. Hey, what's it, man? Hey, what are you doing?
I got to tell you, you sound a little bit like Jose Miranda. Yeah, so you are from Siberia. That must be a rather bleak place to live, as well as claiming to be the son of God.
It's, you know, it's interesting because it's cold, but because I have this holy, I sweat. You're laughing.
Oh, no.
You're a mocker guy.
I am having a flashback. So you believe that you are the literal reincarnation of the Son of God. Is that true, sir?
I feel it.
You do.
I feel it.
You know what? Right now, I could use a probiotic because I'm feeling breakfast. But I've got to be honest. I don't know what that means, though, that I'm anything more than Sam and Dowd.
No, your feel is fake. My feel real.
I see. Sporting wispy hair. Yeah, I see that right here, according to the Daily Mail. A white cloak and sandals over his socks. I hope you don't mow the lawn. Do you ever have to mow the lawn in Siberia?
Look, you're talking about my Birkenstocks now. Watch it.
So you're a liberal.
I like it.
Yes. Do you drive a Subaru?
You know, only
Mondays.
Do you
have a coexist bumper sticker?
Exactly. Nice. I like it. I like it.
All righty then. The bearded 56-year-old, well, I'll just have to use my imagination, calls himself Bessarian and says he's founder of the Church of the Last Testament. So my question for you, sir, is Revelation 22 says, no more words added to this book. Let that person be damned, but you're claiming there's more to be added?
Sometimes I changed my mind.
All righty.
But, you know, the thing, it's a kind of a style thing, you know what I mean?
And, no.
Well, you have to sometimes adjust and you have to adapt.
I see. The former, you were a Red Army soldier.
That's right.
So you could hurt people. I see. Who claims you were reborn in 1991.
Sometime around there.
No details more than that. It's just approximately.
In that sort of region of time.
I see. You're now the
circa. It's kind of like
you know Russian and Latin. That's fascinating. Now the spiritual leader of at least 5,000 devoted followers in a small isolated village of Petropavlovka.
Yeah.
2,000 miles away. How do you get people to follow you?
You gotta just, you know, I came up with a slogan a long time ago.
Oh, you did. And
it was stolen.
Uh-huh.
I admit. It's called, just do it. You just do it. And they follow, okay? You gotta try it sometime, Todd. It's really good.
Apparently your believers have given up their lives to follow you as strict vegetarians.
Yeah.
I thought Peter had a vision and he was told to eat anything he wanted to.
Yeah, yeah, you guys always, yeah, right, Peter, kill and eat or whatever. Did you ever study the original in that?
In Russian?
No, the original in the original language that it was written in, the Swahili. Did you ever read it?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Now, see, look what I've learned today.
You see?
It's not Swahili that I was aware of.
Yeah.
They're strict vegans. They're banned from smoking and drinking. So you're Baptistic in some way?
Kind of. Hookah's okay, but the other stuff.
Vaping okay?
It depends on the kind of vape flavors.
So what is your favorite?
You know, I was doing the onions, but I changed it.
It was hard that you were losing followers.
That's right.
Now, there's some accusations, sir.
That's right.
Mr. Bessarian, that you while away your days, a painting in your chalet where you live with your wife, 6 children, but it appears that maybe money is involved in your ministry because you've taken some rather nice vacations to Italy and France. What do you say, sir?
That was for free.
It was for you went there for free?
Yeah.
And how did you get there exactly?
I haven't figured it out, but I know that I do know it was for free.
Uh huh.
So, but that's the thing is you're always looking for ways to judge me. But,
I shouldn't judge you.
Precisely. Lest... No! Stop. Lest you be judged.
I can do it, too. But I'm curious, fellow, who claims to be Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus Christ warn that there would be people claiming to be Jesus Christ, but we shouldn't believe them?
I changed my mind.
I see.
I told you. You're always, like... You can't hold me to the stuff that I did say and to try to tell me I can't say what I say now in the way that now I say what I say.
I see what you're saying.
So, yeah.
Right there.
I know your game.
I could fall under the charismatic spell, and you probably would just because you could vape with him all the time.
Well, that depends on the flavor.
Depends on the flavor.
I like weasel.
All right. Last, after spending time in the army, Viserion, that would be you, sir, working as a traffic policeman.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, until you became unemployed. So,
and that's by choice.
Were you Jesus at the time you were also a cop?
Sometimes.
Uh-huh. Suddenly something awoke inside of him, and he instantly knew that he was the second coming of Christ 2,000 years after he was first crucified.
Best day of my life.
So, am I to understand that you're a... Are you reincarnated? How exactly did you come back here a second time?
I remember that day, Todd. Is that how you say your name?
Fine.
Okay. I hate mispronunciation.
Yeah, I can see that. Because your grammar is really impeachable.
No, my worst thing ever is for when the people, they mispronounce things. It's really bad.
Would you consider it a sin?
Probably, honestly, Todd, I know you're going to look at me like I'm not crazy, but the worst sin. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
That's
so,
standards.
It just happened one day, and I feel it. And when I feel it, I feel it. Okay? Don't look at me like that. I told you I feel it.
All right, sir.
Okay.
You're getting a little wound.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's righteous indignation.
I forgive you.
I appreciate that lot. Listen, I
do yoga, too.
It doesn't work out for you.
I do yoga.
That doesn't shock me.
Okay.
Yeah, because you just slip off your sandals. You got your socks on.
Got the socks.
Is it the double down dog that's your favorite?
I like it.
You like the double down dog?
I like it.
So the yoga practicing, supposed reincarnation of Jesus Christ. So despite what you said the first time, you actually think you are, and this has nothing to do with money.
Precisely, and not precisely at the same time, in the same sense, and all that other stuff.
And we're grateful for your time, sir.
You're welcome.
Is it not shocking how many times we have seen this, that false Christ will arise? By the way, Tony, you know what? Clearly, since we've made all of the changes, bringing in high-profile guests like this, clearly an addition and an improvement to the program.
Stunning when you
I think I don't mind using the cliche. We've just taken this to another level.
I would agree with that.
Be warned.
Sadly.
If people have the gumption to try to tell you that they are Jesus Christ, those are the ones I think we have a tendency to look at and go, well, wow, that's kind of delusional. But the same thing is true for false teachers, that there are people that are angels of light. They look like they're followers of Jesus Christ, but they are not. They appear to be teachers of the Bible, but they are not. So how do we discern the difference? We need something to arbitrate for us. Once again, it is the Word of God. Hey, sir, before you go, are you going to be coming back on any particular date for, like, the judgment? Can we look forward to that?
I set a date, but I forgot it.
Got it. Don't believe that either.
Should have written that down.
We've got enough of those. Yeah. By the way, real quick, we got 10 seconds. Blood moons. The significance of the blood moons.
I remember a long time ago I said this is good stuff, and now I look at it and it's like different days for stuff like that.
As clear as it could possibly be. This, shamefully, is Wretched Radio.
It's time for a drive-by minute.
And I cannot tell you how many times I've talked to people. And someone will bring me along and say, oh, this guy, you know, he used to be a part of our church and stuff, and now he's gone back to the world, or he's become an atheist, or he's joined this religion or that religion, and we start talking. And it does not take but a few moments to realize this was never someone who bowed the knee before Jesus Christ and said, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. This was someone who was brought in on promises of, you know, a little better life, you know, we're not going to worry about your lifestyle and things like that. You know, just sort of add Jesus. Jesus will not be added to anyone's self-help methodology. And when we don't challenge people, we're the ones to blame when the church is filled with driftwood and when people go off into all sorts of strange beliefs. Jesus didn't work that way.
You can get Drive-By Discernment and all of our Drive-By resources at WretchedRadio.com.
What do we say to the person who struggles with sexual abuse, infidelity, divorce, homosexuality, domestic violence, self-harm, body idolatry, miscarriage? Do you know how to help the people who are struggling with these issues? Get Drive-By Biblical Counseling, too. It will help you and your local church help those who are hurting. Get Drive-By Biblical Counseling, too, and all of our resources at wretchedradio.com.
Why should you consider sponsoring your own Tomorrow Club? Because of stories like this.
I want to share the story with you of Raul. He's a 14-year-old boy. He was the first one to repent in this Tomorrow Club, and actually the first one in the entire village to come to the Lord and be baptized. And none of the people in this town are educated. And can you imagine, he was the first one in this whole village to actually go to school. While he was there, he literally faced beatings and rejection from others that weren't Roma people, but he responded to them in kindness. And today, Raul leads a Bible study group in his room for 12 boys, and he often talks to the principals and the teachers about Christ. He wants others to find Christ just as he has.
Would you please help us write more stories? Sponsor a Tomorrow Club, please. Visit tomorrowclubs.org.
Bring up Jesus Christ and you'll get opinions ranging from good teacher to mere myth. Todd's first book, Jesus Unmasked, goes beyond mere opinion and uncovers what Jesus taught about himself. The truth may surprise you as you discover how the Old Testament clearly points to Jesus in the New Testament. You'll never doubt again that Jesus Christ is God. Get your copy of Jesus Unmasked at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ruth tells of a Moabite widow who chose to follow the God of Israel and found favor in the eyes of a godly man named Boaz, who claimed her family's land as her kinsman redeemer. Ruth and Boaz are the ancestors of Jesus and a foreshadowing of Jesus' work as our kinsman redeemer. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who's having a deja vu all over again one more time? This is Wretched Radio, sitting in studio, the one, the only, Easy Emile Zwane from Living Waters. You know the ministry. They've made movies like the most recent one, Exit, 180, 360, 720. What other numbers are involved with this?
Well, I can tell you Banana Man is coming soon.
Ah, looking forward to it. And it really is. You're not making that up, are you?
It's the truth. It's the truth.
Of course.
We're going to get all
the
good.
Any chance for the Kiwi to preach the gospel and reach atheists?
No, not Ray Comfort. Never, bro. Never.
All right. Here's your task at hand.
All right.
I hold in my never formerly nicotine-stained fingers some quotes. These are emails that I received. People sent into idea@wretchedradio.com, which people can still do right now to win tickets to the G3 conference. Huge conference in Atlanta.
We
got to get you there. No, we got to get you to be a speaker there.
I'd love to. I'll talk to
people.
Come on.
Who maybe know people, who maybe know people.
Pull some strings.
Something.
Pull some strings.
To get you to preach. I'm hoping Paul Washer is going to be there. Vody Baucom. I don't know if Steve's going to be there. Phil Johnson. Justin Peters is going to be there. It's a cavalcade of great preachers.
I looked at that lineup. I thought, wow.
Stellar.
Yeah.
And me.
And you.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, balance is what they've got. And so I invited people to send in quotes of reformers.
Yes.
And then they could win a pair of tickets to idea@wretchedradio.com. You can do that now if you'd like, because we've got 20 pair to give away right now. I don't want to get all sophisticated and technical with the rules because I haven't made any up yet. But I'm going to start reading quotes.
I'm catching on to that.
He said, in Christian duplicity. Let me read some quotes to you that I received. Yeah. And then you write down with the pen that I've given to you, which one's your favorite? So you get to pick a favorite quote between, say, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, Jan Hus.
Oh,
so it should
what an easy task.
Now, you know, Tony is our very own in-house Lutheran. So if you don't pick Luther, you're going to have to deal with
I'm
him.
I'm in trouble. Yep. He's going to sprinkle me on the way out.
Okay.
I will not let you vapor smoke my weasel. Weasel flavor is the best.
Here is a quote from, what do you know, Martin Luther. This is from Luther's Works, Volume 54, page 78. That's one of your favorites, isn't it, Tony?
Martin Luther.
Do you recant?
Wait.
Nope.
Which Martin Works was it, by the way?
That would be Martin Luther Works, Volume 54, page 78, sent in from Tom. Here we go. No man should be alone when he opposes Satan. He talked about Satan a lot.
He did.
The Lutheran. Lutherans these days don't talk that much about Satan.
No.
Luther did. No man should be alone when he opposes Satan. The church and the ministry of the word were instituted for this purpose, that hands may be joined together, that one may help another. If the prayer of one doesn't help, the prayer of another will. Martin Luther. Mm. A little demon warfare.
Luther.
Tony, did you realize that your leader was into some sort of... What was the name of that? What was that big trend that was going on for a number of years? Like 15 years ago? It was
marking in the spirit?
No, that's another trend, sadly. Right. But it was all about how to deal with demons and how to get them under, you know, hedges being built.
Oh, right,
and
right.
Binding and all
yes,
that kind of stuff.
Yes, territorial.
That was it.
Yeah, right.
So Martin Luther was a territorial demon guy. That's what we just learned right there. Here's our second quote. This is from
that's what you got out of that. Wow.
Pretty
okay,
much.
Carry on.
That
yeah.
was it. Did I miss the point? Yeah.
No, you're
John
good.
Calvin.
Fine. Carry on.
For once, I need my glasses. Did I tell you you're a little fuzzy right now? I rang my bell real hard coming into the studio.
Yeah, Todd. I was
talking to you. I was so engrossed in the conversation, I walked into a TV hanging from the ceiling
in
the studio. I'm
surprised you're in this studio right now. I thought I was going to call 911.
I almost went down.
No, that was bad.
I dipped away for a minute and came back.
You got to learn your studio better, Todd. You're only in there every day.
Calvin, for once, we have told the Lord of our pressing need. We have every cause to be at peace, for we know that nothing of our plight is hidden from him whose goodwill to us is assured and whose power to assist us is unquestioned.
Mm.
That'd be from Institutes, page 518.
Oh, boy.
Can I just tell you something?
Wow.
I find Calvin hard to read. Can I just confess that?
The guy was brilliant.
People don't realize
how young he was when he had his theological
26.
Scruples. Yeah, 26.
I think he wrote Institutes.
Oh!
Right.
You know, most 26-year-olds living in mom's basement, you know, I hardly know a thing about the word. I just,
Did I mention I just got to spend some time with Steve Lawson? That explains the glow. That or when I ran into the television.
Right.
It could just be the way that I'm seeing right now. And he said that he was referred to, John Calvin was the theologian.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther, who was like the icebreaker, you know, the bull who just like shattered down walls. He wasn't referred to, Calvin wasn't referred to as a theologian.
The theologian. Yeah.
Brilliant fellow. But giants in the land, because if you recall, the torch, in a sense, was passed from one to the other at just the right time. One dies, God raises up another one, takes it to another country. You can't help but see the hand of God in the Protestant Reformation.
Well, may God bring about a change with more theologically astute minds today.
William Tyndale, I defy the Pope and all his laws. If God spare my life, ere many years will I cause a boy who drives the plow to know more of the scriptures than you do. He said that to some Catholic priests who were visiting the house that he went into ministry, but didn't want public ministry, so he was being a chaplain at somebody's home on an estate.
Wow.
Some priests came by, not uncommon, and that's what he said to the priest.
Because
the word wasn't in the language of the people.
Yeah. I bet dinner was a lot of fun that night.
I'll bet that it was like one of those awkward past the what kind of food do they have in England? I'm trying to think of English cuisine, but that's an oxymoron.
Mutton chops. Yeah, they got to get it together on the food side of things.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So many. They've got Wimbledon. That's very good.
That's good.
You would think.
Yeah.
That's all I could think of, my British friends.
Patio.
Feel free to
scream. British
me.
Open.
All right.
Patio.
This. The British Open?
British Open.
It's not called the British Open. It's the
Just
Open. It's
the Open.
Like the theologian.
To us old timers, it's still the British Open.
Here's another Martin Luther. We are saved by faith alone, but not by faith that is alone. That's pretty important.
Because
clearly Luther believed in works. That's what he just said right there.
Right there, yeah.
You know, we often forget Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Right.
Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, we leave it out. Titus. You know, Paul talks about, hey, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. According to his mercy, he saved us. And he says, but I want you to remind those who have believed in God to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable for men.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken good words, which are good works, and we've made them a byword, so to speak. But yeah, the outflow of a life redeemed by grace should be an overflow of good works to the glory of God.
Now, demonstrating just some biblical acumen that I clearly possess, Ephesians 10 comes right after Ephesians 8 and 9. Because I studied this.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's right there. By grace are you saved.
Absolutely.
For works. No, that doesn't mean works saved.
Absolutely not.
But once saved, we go to work.
Yeah.
And if there's no works, there's no faith.
But I love what Paul says, too, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then in 2 Timothy 2, Paul talks about how, you know, in a great house, there's vessels of honor, dishonor. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Every good work prepared for us, we're prepared for every good work, and there occurs what I call the divine convergence. When at a certain point in time and space, God brings those two things together. You being prepared, the works prepared for you, and they come together. You enter into them. Nicely, neatly, prepackaged good works that are set along the path of life, you enter into them for the glory of God. And those redeemed by grace are the ones that could do the greatest of good works for the glory of God, because we know we're saved by grace apart from them. We do them, like Ray often says, what I can't express in works in words, I express in works.
So if you were sent on an assignment from a very powerful man, pick the emperor, the president, and you had to travel cross country, you would do it with such comportment, recognizing I have been sent. I get to do this work, not for me, but for somebody very important. God sends us to do words.
2 Corinthians 5, ambassadors for Christ, ministry of reconciliation. That's what was given to the apostles, passed on to the people of God. Yeah, representatives
of Christ. We should carry ourselves like, I get to do this work. Oh, I have to serve in church. What?
Yeah.
I got to witness to, what?
Todd, 100,000 years to travel across the Milky Way galaxy at the speed of light. You hop on a beam of light, fly from one end to the other, 100,000 years at 186,000 miles per second nonstop, over 100 billion galaxies with over 100 billion stars in each galaxy. The Bible says about God, he spans the universe with his hand. Heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain him. And he's called us microscopic specks of dust to be his representatives and to herald his gospel. You think we should be a bit honored, a bit sobered?
But do you know what's on cable
TV
tonight?
I'm preaching now.
There's some good cable TV tonight. There's a new video game. Here's a quote from John Calvin. We shall never be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, except we first know assuredly that we have none of our own. All right?
Amen.
You haven't taken any notes.
Bro, I'm ready.
All right.
Don't judge me.
Too late for that.
Yeah.
Who wins the tickets? Which quote?
Calvin. The first Calvin quote.
Which, of course, was... Yes, that was a good one right there.
Yeah.
That counts. So we'll get that paperwork sorted out, and we'll get those tickets to you. Send quotes to idea@wretchedradio.com. Visit livingwaters.com. Check out Hell's Best Kept Secret, True and False Conversion. Anything about witnessing, that's the place to go, livingwaters.com. All of your evangelism needs can be met, one-stop shop, and watch for Living Waters on television, because you're all over the place still. It isn't...
Went by
it's
too
an
quick,
honor.
Todd. Too
okay,
quick.
Just
come
don't take that necessarily to heart, because it could still be my head ringing just a little bit. Emile's way. Now, thank you very much, sir. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.